On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I preview the upcoming rivalry game against Clemson, review this past week in Gamecock athletics, and give my six-pack of picks. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 22 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, and I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope everyone had a lovely Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there, all of my followers, all of my listeners. Look, it doesn't matter who you're with or how you celebrated, but it is always great to look around and be thankful for what you have. I am big on gratitude, whether it's a big thing or a small thing. And really quick, I am super thankful for anyone who has followed me as I've started this podcast, whether you're just a listener or whether you've just followed me on social media. Well, I guess you wouldn't be hearing this now, but you get the idea. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to have this podcast and to have people who have interacted with me on social media, whether it's Twitter or Instagram. I have met some cool people and talked a lot of sports and talked a lot about South Carolina, and it has been a wild and very fun ride thus far. I'm very excited to see where the podcast can go. And of course, in that same breath, how can we not be thankful for Gamecock Athletics and the friends we have all made through that? Good, bad, ugly, the Gamecocks are always there and the memories will last forever. And so with that, let's take a look back and be thankful and review for this past week in Gamecock Athletics, because what a week it has been to be a Gamecock. I mean, honestly, it feels like Oprah Winfrey was on our campus. Just, you get a win, you get a win. Wins everywhere from the last week. I mean, even dating back to the last show, right? Reviewing the men's win against UAB and women's soccer and women's basketball. And it has just kept rolling. So some updates since the last show here. Women's basketball leading it off with the big headline, defeating UConn 73-57 to win the Bad Boy Mowers tournament that was in Nassau, Bahamas, an early season powerhouse matchup. And what a showing from Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks. My goodness. I tweeted this about the game, and this is going to be hard to picture, but the team is redonkulous, with Dawn being in all caps. So I hope that catches on. That'd be pretty sweet. But South Carolina, we were down by 3 going into the half and then ended up winning by 73-57, largely because we gave up only 3 points in the entire fourth quarter. Like, are you actually joking me? Talk about lockdown defense. That is absolutely nuts. We just imposed our will, cleaned up silly mistakes that was keeping UConn in the game early, and truly showed why we are the number one team in the country. Now, I'm not going to say that it's, you know, the big trophy or bust, but after seeing that, like, if I'm a fan or a coach of any other team in women's college basketball, I am shaking in my boots. Aaliyah Boston leading the squad with 22 points and 15, that's right, 15 rebounds. Let me tell you something. Dawn Staley said this, but when they let Boston play, if they don't call ticky-tack fouls, she is the most dominant center in women's college basketball. Zaya Cook following up with 17 points, and my girl Destiny Henderson already stepping her game up early in this season, 15 points, but 6 steals. Talk about a way to claw your back into a game. Others like Cardoza hit some timely shots, and the women's next game is Friday in Columbia against Elon. So let's keep the good times rolling. On the men's side of things, men's basketball defeated Wofford 85-74. kind of a similar deal where they were only up by four going into the half, but were able to build a lead in the second half and hold it. The refs seemed like they were calling lots of ticky-tack fouls early in the game. Wofford was getting to the line. South Carolina was not, so kind of going against that. A.J. Wilson, he is back, but the main story has to be Eric Money Stevenson. I said you weren't Steph Curry early in the year, my guy. I got to eat my words here a little bit. 25 points from the kid, going 5 from 7 from three-point range and 6 rebounds on top of it. James Reese followed it up with 15 points, and Jermaine Cousinard, that veteran guy, 14 points there. So a real team effort. And then on top of it all, Keyshawn Bryan, he is due to come back with the team. Their next game, it is Sunday against Ryder in Colonial Life. So you're getting the reinforcements back. A.J. Wilson, Keyshawn Bryan, staring at a chance to start 5-1. So some great work from Frank and the Gamecocks early on. And this isn't so much of an update as it is a preview, but women's soccer, they are taking on BYU in the Elite Eight on Saturday in the NCAA tournament with a chance to go to the Final Four. So we root on the girls. You can take on BYU. We got this. SEC greater than BYU. Come on, let's go. And that game is on Saturday. But speaking of Saturday, it is the Palmetto Bowl. It is the accumulation, the pinnacle, the head of Clemson Hate Week. So let's just dive right into this Clemson game preview. I hate saying their name. I mean, I really do. Clem suck. Clemson. Clemson with a capital L. The team from the upstate. Whatever you want to call them other than their actual name, please. But it is the return of the Palmetto Bowl. It's 2020 was such a whack-ass year. I mean, I still feel like it's 2020. Like, this whole year is just bizarro land we've been living in. But we didn't have this game last year. There was no Carolina-Clemson matchup. It ended the streak. Granted, it was not by design. And you'll remember that South Carolina voted to not play just an all-SEC schedule to be able to play the Clemson game. And I believe Clemson was open to playing it. And that's just the mutual respect that two schools have for each other to understand how big this rivalry is. But it should make this year's crowd and game all the more crazy. But let me tell you something. As this week has gone on, and really this season has gone on, I just really, really freaking hate Clemson. I mean, I've always said that it's 1A and 1B with Clemson and Georgia for teams that I hate the most. I used to say when I was in school that I would hate whoever we played at home more because I would be at that game. But now I can at least watch Georgia play someone else, like a random game, like, I don't know, against, like, let's just say Arkansas. And I can watch that game and I can appreciate good SEC football and I can watch that and enjoy myself. But watching even 1 minute of a Clemson game makes me mad and honestly kind of nauseous. I mean, they're stupid, bright orange and purple. Like, what a disgusting color combination. Who in their right mind would ever think that that's good? They're stupid, cracked out looking with the weird beady eyes, tiger mascot, thinks they're so cool. The stupid hill they run down, it's a hill. Get over it. My God. And you're making your students stand in grass. And then when it rains, in mud. Like, what? Build some seats. And the stupid song they play when even the most nominal thing goes right for them. It'd be a 2-yard gain and they spell Clemson and they pause before the end. Like, wow, congrats, you can spell. Or maybe they didn't know how to spell and that's why they have to pause before the end. My God, I'm getting all riled up here. This is great. But I was thinking about it, and this is going to be a hot take. I'm opening myself up here. Clemson fans are kind of like cicadas. You know those bugs, they come out like once every 17 years and they're just annoying and they're everywhere? Well, Clemson fans, when you really look at it, they only really come out during football season. I mean, yeah, if there's a big win here and there, you'll see them pop up, but like they don't get hype for basketball like we do. They don't get hype for baseball quite like we do. There's really not much going on. So when it's football season, they pop up and they're really annoying and they're everywhere. And they're just dumb. I mean, based off of Twitter and seeing what they're saying about Columbia and they're scared to come to the big city at night. Like, you would honestly think Columbia is like fucking Baghdad. Like, it's ridiculous. They're from the sticks. They're from the boonies. They'd have no culture. Annoying. But back to the ball game. And this game has huge implications for a couple of reasons. Beamer said it that they won't prepare any different for Clemson than you would another game, but he did acknowledge that this game means a lot for the fans, for the community, and a lot of the players, especially those from the state, but I would say even those who have been on the team, who are upperclassmen and who have been on the wrong end of this game, right? South Carolina, we're already in a position where I would be willing to say the vast majority of fans can say that this season, it really hasn't been half bad. It's kind of a success. I mean, literally not half bad. We've won half the games at this point, more than half the games, right? We have 6 wins. We're going to a bowl game, which is pretty much the opposite of what Clemson can say. They have been having a down year by their standards. They still have 8 wins, but they obviously lost the big one against Georgia to start the year, and they just have not looked the same. They've been real start and stop, and even their wins, if you really look at it, they're like squeaked out. They like squeaked out one against Georgia Tech. They squeaked out one against Louisville, like teams that are just not that good. But a South Carolina win here, it accomplishes a couple of things. One, it would really shock the SEC and the college football world at whole as to the potential that South Carolina has, and more so what is there right now. And obviously, it would end the losing streak against Clemson, and two, would close that gap with any recruits who were deciding between us and them, and that could pay dividends in the future. But also, it would do wonders for this fan base. For multiple reasons, that goes without saying. Not only would it silence so many doubters, but it would show beyond a shadow of a doubt that things are different than they have been for the last few years, and that we have real, true reasons to be optimistic for our future under Shane Beamer. So the question is, what is it going to take for South Carolina to do this? Which leads us to the crows to the game. And for the last time in the regular season, I have to say it, if you are a new listener, I don't do keys to the game. Everyone does that. That's tired. We have our rooster crow in Williams-Brice, so I have our crows to the game. So my overall crow for the game for the team is, hey, embrace the moment. Like I just said, your season has been a pleasant surprise to this point. You can go in there and play fast, play loose, play physical. You don't have to play tight and be worrying about, oh, are we going to get to a bowl game after this game or not? You're going to go in there and you can stick it to these guys. And you have had doubters all year. You had doubters last year. And this team has beat up on us for the past few years. I hate to have to say it. This is our moment. Home crowd at night, coming off a couple of big wins and a few games. Embrace the moment and elevate our games. Now on defense, my first crow to the game is the secondary has to have discipline. The Clemson quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, DJ Ukulele, whatever his name is, he's typically not that great at working through his progressions. So if our corners are able to stick to their assignments and lock them down for that extra second or two longer, DJ could become flustered, and ultimately, if you do this, our D-line could keep working their assignments, and you can try to get a coverage sack or two, so to speak. So get him flustered, get him off his rhythm, and off of that first read. My second crow to the game, it's going to sound like a familiar one, slow down the run game. And I feel like I have said this for every game since A&M, but it's true. I mean, Will Shipley, their main running back, I guess, he has as many touchdowns, total touchdowns, as their quarterback, which is nuts because your quarterback should be throwing it all over the yard, but it shows how much they rely on him. So if you can contain their run game, I think they have another guy or two who they like to rotate in, and if you can make them a bit more one-dimensional, I mean, what we did against Florida would be the ultimate example where you really just shut down their run game, but our secondary could hopefully make it a long day for the Clemson offense. Our secondary has been stepping up these past few games. Smaller players who were earlier in the year, guys like Platel, Rush, they have stepped up their game, and hopefully we can make it a long day for their passing offense. Now on offense, my first crow to the game, play with urgency. I've said this many games, but it is still true, especially when you're facing a defense like Clemson has. And I'm going to be honest, I mean, they've had a down year by their standards, but their defense is still stout. You look at the stats, they have a pretty good defense still. So you have to be able to have some sustained drives early in the game to earn the respect from their defense. And if you can, even try to get them on their heels a little bit, which could open things up for us a little bit later on to the game, which also leads perfectly into my second crow to the game, which is don't be afraid to be aggressive. Clemson allows 100 yards more per game through the air than on the ground, so don't take that fact lightly. Also, I kind of alluded to it, but South Carolina, we have nothing to lose here. We're playing with house money. We've made it to a bowl game. Our crowd is going to be insane. Our season has been pretty good to this point, all things considered. So if you take a couple of shots, take a couple of risks, and can connect on a couple of them, that is momentum that can sustain you for the whole game and hopefully just suck the soul out of the Clemson sideline. And that is a great opportunity for our playmakers, a guy like Josh Fan, but also a guy like Jaheim Bell to spring back into action and make a big play. He's made plays here and there, but I feel like they were trying to force it to him a little bit earlier in the season, and they wanted to rely more on the proven playmakers these last few games. Let's bring Bell back into the fold and try to create a big, big play. And my third crow for the offense is be resilient. There's going to be moments when the Clemson defensive line is just going to win that line of scrimmage. It's going to happen. They're going to make big plays, but you got to shake it off. Don't let it affect our confidence, and don't make any drastic freak changes if it's not warranted. If they stuff out a run, don't abandon the run. Be resilient. So overall for the game, this is a huge moment for South Carolina in the first year of Shane Beamer, goes without saying. A win against Clemson would send shockwaves to any fan, writer, recruit, or otherwise who has any vested interest in the South Carolina Gamecocks. It has just been announced that Williams-Brice is officially a sold-out crowd. This will certainly be the most raucous crowd for a Clemson game since the Spurrier era, hands down. And throughout the year, both of these teams, you know, they've been up and down. Both seemingly have been hitting their stride a little bit later on in these seasons. Both teams going to be playing with a lot of pride, and both teams are a bit flawed. And this makes me think that South Carolina can scratch and fight its way to keep it close as we go into that fourth quarter. And hopefully, if that is the case, then we can get one last dose of Williams-Brice magic for the year. And if that happens, what a magical way it would be to end this regular season. So if you are going to the game, be loud, be proud, be early, root for our boys for four quarters, and let's take down those damned old Clemson Tigers. Let's go, Cox, baby. Cox by a million. Let's go, boys. This is our moment. This is our time. We're tired of this. We're tired of being on the wrong end of this game. I'm ready for this to go back our way. We are home. It's at night. We have new energy. We have fight. We have love. We have grit. We have determination. And we can do this. I know we can. There's going to be moments where it's going to be hard. You're going to say, oh no, here we go again. What happened against Auburn? We all thought that. Look how that turned out. Be resilient. Be grit. We can do this. And so with that, speaking of grit and we can do this, let's turn to my six-pack of picks and then we'll wrap up this episode. So for any new listeners, real quick, I do my six-pack of picks. We go one game from each Power 5 conference and then one from the Group of 5. I don't bet on South Carolina because I get stressed enough already, if you couldn't tell. And this week it's actually fun because it's rivalry week. Ooh, I think I said it right that time. So real quick here, ACC, FSU, +2.5 versus Florida. That game is at noon. Kind of coming full circle with FSU. I think I gave them a chance or two early in the year. I swore them off because they screwed me. One last chance. They've been playing well late in the year. Big Ten, I feel like this is obligatory. Got to go for the game. Ohio State versus Michigan. I'm going with the over. Both defenses have been stout, but both offenses have been super impressive. I'm not going to sit there and root for the under at noon for the game. Big 12, give me Texas Tech versus Baylor. Baylor -14. That game is also at noon. Baylor's trending up. Texas Tech is very up and down. I think Baylor is trying to really play really well and end the year there. Over to the Pac-12, give me Notre Dame -19.5 versus Stanford. That game is at 8 p.m. Stanford has been crushed the last few games. Notre Dame, they're sitting in that sixth spot. They need to find a way to get some momentum. So if they win by a billion, hey, that could help their chances for the playoff. SEC, give me Georgia versus Georgia Tech over 54.5. That game's at noon. Georgia has everything wrapped up as far as going to the SEC championship and things like that, but I think that they could score 30 or so within a blink of an eye. Hopefully Georgia Tech, once Georgia pulls their starters, Georgia Tech goes, you know, 20 or so points, and it's just going to bleed over. Group of five, give me the War on I-4. Great rivalry name. South Florida versus Central Florida over 62. Both offenses are electric. Both defenses are bleh. And I think that is going to go over 62. And so with that, that wraps up the last regular season football preview episode. Kind of sad. It's been a lot of fun. Again, very, very thankful for all y'all. If you can, please like and subscribe to the podcast. If you're able to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening to, please leave me a review. Would love to hear your feedback. Follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, and Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And with that, let's go, boys. Root them in. Bring the Palmetto Bowl home. We got this. Go, Cox.